introduce you and to welcome Pastor Jaco Prinsloo from our Johannesburg church. I've known Jaco since June 2003, when he was the leader of the very first missions team that came up from Stellenbosch to Pretoria. And so he has had a heart for Pretoria for quite a while. And he's been the pastor of Joburg now for 2 years, Jaco. Please open your hearts for him. Jaco is someone with a lot of faith, a lot of wisdom. And God has used him powerfully in my life, and I really believe God will use him powerfully in your life tonight. And Jaco, we welcome you here. Thank you for coming all the way. And you and Heinrich basically swapped places tonight. Heinrich is in Joburg. So, Jaco, thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay, Reese, thanks. Jaco, the time I prayed for you at church in Stellenbosch, which was before the mission team, but don't worry, you weren't in church then. No. It's a privilege to be here tonight. Last time I preached in Pretoria in the evening, it was a Basti holidays, and there was no power. It was very romantic, but I couldn't see anybody. It was quite interesting. We had some candles over here. I was standing at the bottom, and people could see me, but I couldn't see a thing. So this is a nice change. It's great to see everybody. I heard a story the other day. This has got nothing to do with the message. But I heard a story about a couple that unfortunately got divorced. The husband had something going on with another lady. It's a big bit of a mess. And the wife moved out. The new wife moved in, type of thing. And it wasn't a great situation. And the ex-wife decided she's going to leave them a parting gift. And she, you know those curtain railings that are like the pipes? It's like pipes. They're hollow. You know what I'm talking about? Curtain railings. She put some raw fish in there, in the curtain railings, and closed them again and made everything neat. And sure as anything, obviously, that stench just got worse and worse. And the poor people tried to figure everything out, and they first cleaned the carpets, then they replaced the carpets, then they painted the house, then they cleaned the roof and the attic and everything that you can imagine, they replaced and cleaned and fixed. And they couldn't get rid of that terrible stench. So they decided to sell the house. And the ex-wife, the lady, got it for an absolute bargain because nobody else wanted to buy it. And but then the new wife decided this is not on. She's going to spite the ex-wife and she's going to take those curtain railings right along. So she said she's not leaving these nice railings. She's taking them with. Anyway, it's got nothing to do with what I have to say. I just thought it's a funny story. I'm privileged to be here tonight. I want to honor Pastor Heinrich and Nikki as the shepherds of this congregation. So it's such a blessing in our lives, it's really always a privilege to be here. And Philip as well. They really bless us, and I want you guys to really appreciate them for the gifts that they are and the blessing that they are, and encourage them and support them. Amen. Great. Then, I was at a memorial service the other day. It was of a lady called Elizabeth Austin. Some of you might have heard of her. She was a little lady about this high. Little blonde lady from Texas, and she was always in a perfect, she was very well groomed and always, looking perfectly, made up. And she used to wear red leather suits, you can imagine that. And she had a big blonde afro, and but an amazing lady. She had a passion for the gospel and a passion for Jesus Christ like few other people that I've known. She used to, on her own, as a little lady, of already, I don't know how old she was at the time, when there was still war in Mozambique, she used to parachute in there in the middle of the night alone. They would drop her somewhere over Mozambique because God had gave her a specific word, and she would go in there in the middle of the night, parachute into a war-torn country to preach the gospel. And then the people would, then somebody would be waiting where she touched down, because they had a vision from God and they had a word and they knew she was coming. Anyways, it was such an amazing service because there were people from all over the world. I kid you not. There were people from the east and the west and from all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds and different countries coming to honor this lady and coming to just give thanks to God for the amazing person she was and the amazing things that God had done through her life. And I sat there and when I was preparing, I just thought of this and thought, if people could say half of those things about me when I die, I'd be happy. And I want to ask you that question tonight. What do you want people to say about you when you die? I know most of you are young and haven't thought about that. But think about it for a moment. We once did an exercise. I think I was even at school still where they had us write our own eulogy. In other words, you know, what would you want people to say about you at your funeral? And what would they say, and what do you want them to say? And if there's a discrepancy, then, you know, try and change something. But think about that for a moment. What would you leave behind when you leave this earth? What would you leave behind? What memory are you leaving behind at the moment? And what do you want to leave behind? That in the movie The Gladiator, Maximus says a famous line. He says, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." And that is actually quite a biblical concept, because what we do on this earth and how we do it determines how and where we will spend eternity. Okay, but again, I want to ask you, what legacy are you leaving? What memory are you leaving? What deposit, what are you leaving behind that is precious, that is eternal? And if we're looking at eternal, in eternal terms, relationships and souls are some of the most precious investments, and the currency that is most precious when you're looking at an eternal legacy, an eternal kind of leaving something behind, leaving an inheritance or a legacy. So that's what we're looking at tonight, looking at, yeah, leaving something. But I want to read, let's read with me from 1 Corinthians, from chapter 4. From verse 14 to 17, if you want to follow with me on the screen. "I do not write these things to shame you." This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. It's the Apostle Paul, a church that he established, and they are his children in the Spirit. And he says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." In Malachi 2 verse 15, "But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring." This is God. God seeks godly offspring. "Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of coming together as believers, and coming sitting under your word and in your presence, Lord. Lord, we commit this time to you. We thank you that your word is alive, God. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. We thank you that tonight there's life. This word will bring life to all of here, God. I just commit myself to you and my body and my mind and my words and my thoughts, God, to be to your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Breathe life into them, Lord, and bring life to every person here. Father, we thank you, Lord, that for fruit of these words, God. And I just declare my complete dependence upon you, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way in this place and in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Malachi, we just read about godly offspring and read about Paul about writing about his children. And God is seriously interested in godly offspring. And if you're a student or a young person here tonight, you might think, yeah, you've come to the wrong service. You know, I haven't really thought about children recently. But what we're talking about is not necessarily physical. It's both. It's physical and spiritual. Godly offspring. In a spiritual sense and very much also in a physical sense. And even if you're a young person, you're a student or young working here tonight and you haven't even met the man or woman of your dreams, you're still kind of, you know, searching the horizon, then I want to really encourage you to pray. To pray for that person, to pray for your children even. I remember times when the Lord, even I haven't even met this beautiful young lady in the front, my wife. I haven't even met her yet, and I was already praying and interceding and prophesying over my children, and just the Lord just gave me such amazing promises. And I want to really encourage you to pray for them and to pray for those offspring, even if they're not even close, you're not even near yet. And even as students, I want to encourage you to do that. Yeah, how many students do we have here tonight? Let me see, just get an idea. Well, very good. It's good. I had the privilege of spending some time at the institution across the road here. I really enjoyed those times. I was in Afrikaans, I had a geneeswese gepleeg. And those days, there weren't that many ladies studying engineering. And at the bottom end of the campus, we used to have one class right at the top. There was some chemistry class. And I remember us walking over the campus, and the guys were like, look, we're walking, you know, through all the BA, where there's more ladies, and they were all kind of, it was like a big outing for us, you know, seeing members of the opposite sex, you know, having a look at what's out there. But anyway, there was interesting times. But yeah, how did I get onto that? But yeah, Texas is a great place. Enjoy it. This morning we had a wonderful service. Just by the way, if you're not coming to the morning services, you're really missing out. We had such a blessed time this morning. It was a baptism and a foundation too. And we had an amazing time dedicating some little kids to the Lord, and specifically my friend Donnie, who I've known since we were this size. I think he was a bit bigger. I was small. Donnie, I just want to honor him. Donnie is such a man of God. You guys can really just bless him and appreciate him. He's doing all the work behind the scenes. And he's such a man of God and such a man of faith. And I want to commend you, brother. So we committed little Daniel to the Lord this morning, and we had a baby dedication service. And I looked at Wim Cliff, which is Donnie's dad, whom I also know for quite a while, obviously, and Donnie, and then little Daniel. And the similarities are amazing. And I just thought, yes, this is such a picture of legacy. In a physical sense, you know, we've got three generations. You can see the similarities so clearly, and it's such a blessing to see that. To see the blessing going from generation to generation. In the spirit, it's the same thing. There's something that we can build into somebody else's life that is eternal, of eternal value, and that's what we're talking about tonight. So get to the morning services, okay? Make a plan. It's really amazing. Get up early. That's where the real anointing lies, in the mornings. Amen. Read with me from Exodus chapter 3. This is quite an amazing place where Moses is just basically at the burning bush. This is a turning point in Moses' life and in the destiny of the nation of Israel. And let's see how God introduces himself to Moses. In verse 6, he says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God introduces himself as the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If you look at the many parts of the Old Testament, so many times God comes to somebody and he says this exact thing, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a multi-generational God. He's so great. His purposes are so huge that they span across generations. The promise that God gave to Abram was so huge. The promise of nations and of children and of generations that would come out of his lineage that would be so vast that he couldn't even imagine. And what did he see of all those promises? One boy. That's what he saw. But he was called the father of the faith because he took God at his word. So I think Isaac did a bit better. He saw two. He had two boys. Jacob had 12, which is kind of a step in the right direction. Okay, but imagine this, you know, the purpose of God for that nation and the purpose and the promise that for Abram's life was so vast that it stretched beyond generations. And if you're sitting here tonight and God has given you glimpses of his purpose for you and you almost wet your pants, it's so big and it's so scary, then and you're thinking this is not of God, and I want to really encourage you that it probably is. Because if God tells you to do something or shows you something that seems too great or too big, it's never going to be possible, then it's probably him. Because it's going to extend beyond your lifetime, probably. It's going to extend into generations. That's how God works. He's multi-generational. Tonight I'm going to look at a few points and hopefully be able to finish. Firstly, we're going to look at finding a son. Find a son. Disciple a person. Instruction. Teach what you learn. A life of testimony, testifying, declaring what he has done. Disciple. Do as I do, as I see the Father doing. Looking at a few things around discipling. And then faith in action, walk the talk. I'm going to touch on that. I'm going to try and get through all of that. Firstly, read from me with me from John, chapter 1. Verse 46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. This is the first step, is finding a son. Finding and trusting the Lord to lay somebody on your heart whom with you want to walk a road. Somebody that might not know the Lord at all. Somebody that is maybe in your cell group. Somebody in your small group. Somebody that you know that God lays in your heart that you can walk a road with him. And it's not a difficult thing, this. We take it so serious and we think, how does one do this? How do you approach somebody? You know, how do you go about it? It's actually a very natural thing. Have you noticed when ladies, when you see there's a sale on at Woolies or where else? Diana. Okay. There's a sale on at this place and you tell everybody. Say, come, girls, you know, we're going to go to the sale. Just join me. It's this amazing 75% off sale. You know, it's a natural thing if there's something great happening to share it. You know, with the guys, if somebody has a contact that can get very cheap tickets for Loftus, you know. Huh? How's that? It was a bit of a tense game yesterday, but we pulled it through. Okay, not that many Bull supporters here. So when there's somebody that has tickets, you know, or there's a contact, you share it. So, you know, something is working out or there's something great happening, it's a natural thing to share and to tell somebody about it. When you're in love, I've heard stories, and I've had two sisters. Apparently, when a lady is in love, she can spend hours on the phone to a friend, telling about what happened and what did he say and what did he do and what didn't he do and, you know, what's the next step? And then put down the phone and then start the conversation again another 3 hours with the next friend. You know, it's a natural thing. It's something that when you're in love with someone and when you're in love with Jesus, how much more natural is it to just to tell everybody, say, gosh, yes, you won't believe what's happening in my life. In the same way, it's a natural thing. It's natural to say to your friend, yeah, this thing has happened to me. I went to this course, Foundation One, and my life has changed. You need to go there, man. You need to see this stuff. You need to hear about this guy. And this is exactly what Philip said. He said to Nathaniel, come and see what's happening. It's a natural thing. Okay, but I want to encourage you to ask God specifically. Say, Lord, if you want to start with one person, say, Lord, who should I walk this road with? Who can I bring to Foundation One or to, what is it called now? Perspective. You know, who can I invite to small group? Who can I invite to the worship service at our courses? And trust God to lay people on your heart. Okay, let's look at some examples. Moses' father, Joshua. Now, Moses, you can read about that in Exodus and Joshua for homework. Now, Moses knew God face to face. All right, he's one of the guys in the Bible who had the most incredible relationship with the living God. I mean, at one stage, Miriam and Aaron kind of had things mixed up a bit, and they were in a rebellion. And God gave them a bit of a slap on the fingers and explained to them that he says, I speak to Moses face to face. How's that? And then we have the privilege of, through the blood of Christ, we are able to speak to God face to face. But Moses had that intimacy with the Lord. And he fathered Joshua. He brought him up, and Joshua was doing the dirty work, and he was helping out, and he was doing all the chair packing and setting up the sound and stuff like that. You know, he was busy with the work, and he was walking with Moses, and Moses was raising him up. And there's a beautiful scripture where it says Moses left the tabernacle, left the presence of God, but Joshua, he stuck. He stayed right there. He stayed behind in the presence of God. And Moses knew God face to face, and Joshua went beyond that. He even stayed behind, and he just loved just staying in the presence of God. And the promise that God gave to Moses was fulfilled in Joshua's life. Moses saw the promised land, but because of some things that have happened, he actually couldn't go in. But Joshua, his son in the Lord, his son in the Spirit, the one he had raised up, he was able to fulfill that vision. He was the one that took the nation of Israel into the promised land. Elijah fathered Elisha in 1 and 2 Kings. You can read about that. It's an amazing place where you read where Elijah called Elisha. He didn't call him on the phone or anything. You should go and read that. I don't know the exact scripture, but he walked past. Elisha was busy plowing, like many of us do on Saturday afternoons. You know, he was busy plowing with his dad's oxen. And Elijah, the prophet, the big man of God, everybody knew who he was, walked past and threw his cloak on his shoulders as he was plowing. And then he took it again and he left. Now, in this day and age, it would have been a bit of a strange situation. But Elisha knew exactly what was happening. And he understood that this meant that he was going to take that mantle, that office of the prophet, when Elijah moved on. And he immediately cut. He burnt all his bridges. He cut with the past. He made a sacrifice with the oxen on the wood of the plow. In other words, he couldn't go back to his old life. His dad must have been a bit upset about that. But he immediately honored God right there. And then the word says he became his servant. And he served Elijah for 20 years. And Elijah raised him up. Elijah walked with him. And they walked together. And he taught him. And he was right there at it when all those amazing things happened. And right at the end, he stuck with Elijah until the very end, when the chariot came to collect him. Okay. And And right at the end there, he said to Elijah, I want a double portion. I want a double portion of your anointing. And if you go and look, I haven't done the counting myself, but those that have say that the amount of miracles that the Lord did through Elijah were doubled in Elisha's life. It was a double portion. There was a greater anointing. There was a momentum that just carried on and got greater and greater. And there was a double portion. Okay, we're going to touch on that a little bit later again. And they must understand fathering and finding a son and being fathers in the Spirit is not a gender issue. It's not an age issue. Okay, please understand. It's a spiritual principle. If you're a lady here tonight, you can also have a fathering role in the Spirit. In the same way as you can have a daughter in the Spirit. Okay, so it's a spiritual principle that we're looking at. Okay. Secondly, instruction. Deuteronomy 6. Are you guys with me tonight? It's nice and warm in here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now this is the commandment and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. And then in the same chapter, verse 6 and 7, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's talking about instruction, teaching, and notice here that it's a lifestyle. He's not saying, take somebody to Bible school. That's the first step. Okay, that's a great thing to do, is inviting somebody to Bible school, to the spiritual growth seminar, the foundations. But, you know, that's a great starting point. But he speaks here of a lifestyle, of teaching others, of sharing what God has done in your life. And again, it's a natural outflow. When you're playing a strategy game, any of you guys into strategy games? One or two, whatever you're doing, you know. When you find the right way to get something, or you find a shortcut, or whatever, they have these cheat codes and stuff, I don't know what they have, but you share it with your buddies. You know, there's a way to do this that works. You know, when you find a shortcut in a route, or it's something that you naturally want to share. When you grow in something, you want to share it. In the same way, when you grow in the Spirit, it's a natural thing to say, yes, guys, you know what I experienced this weekend, and I learned this about God this weekend. And it's a natural thing to say, yeah, this is what happened, and I just want to share this with you. I just want to encourage you with this. And again, it's a part of that process. When you've trusted God for somebody, and you're walking a road with someone, they've been born again, or you're still praying for it, you know, trusting God, but you're walking with that person, and naturally, everything that you experience in your walk with God, you want to impart into that person's life. And again, guys, the big challenge here is that some people of you might say, yeah, but I haven't even done Foundation 2 yet, or I haven't even been able to do Bible school, or I don't have any theological degrees or anything. This is not something to do with any qualification. It's something to do with, if you've taken one step with Jesus, then you're one step ahead of somebody else. Then there's somebody else that has not taken that step. And you can say, this is what happened. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's so amazing. And just come on, man, just take this step with me. If you've taken a step, you are able to help somebody else to take that same step. I want to encourage you to have the boldness to do that. To grab somebody by the hand and say, come and see. Come and see what God is doing in my life. Come and experience what I'm experiencing. And share what you're learning. Share it. It's the most... I've noticed in my own life, when I'm teaching, or when I'm, it's not teaching, it's just sharing. It's kind of just, it's coming in the one side and it's going out the other side. It's a flow of life. When it's stagnant inside and we don't have an outflow, it kind of gets a bit frotterig, you know, and it's not so nice. But when there's an outflow and there's a flow of life through us, there's such amazing growth that happens. And there's no way of really cementing something in your spirit and a revelation that you've got in the presence of God. There's no better way than to share that revelation with somebody else. Amen. So then this is a lifestyle. I want to encourage you to make it part of who you are. A lifestyle of taking what you've learned and passing it on. Right, then Psalm 78, 1 to 7, is a contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. What he's talking about is again, it's a lifestyle of saying, this is what God has done in my life, and this is more like, it's almost the same as the instructing part, but this is a testimony part, where you're saying, this is what God has done in my life, and I want to tell everybody about it. I want to build a monument of what God has done in my life. It's a precious place where, just after the Israelites have walked through the Jordan, God did amazing miracles. As the priest's feet touch the water gets dammed up on the one side. It's a huge miracle. I mean, they'd walk over on dry ground, and God instructs them to put a huge pile of stones in the middle of the river, which would obviously be impossible if it hadn't been for this miracle. So they build this pile of stones, and imagine 20, 30 years down the line, grandpa walks with his grandson next to the river, and the boy goes, Granddad, what's that pile of rocks in the middle of the river? You know, how on earth did it get there? How powerful is it when the granddad explains, son, that is the day when God brought us through here on dry ground. That's what happened that day. That is the miracle that God did for us. That is how we took this land, this promised land. This is what happened. I want to say this is such an integral part of a life of gratitude is building monuments. Building monuments and saying, this is what God has done in my life. Making it, taking time out when God has come through for you. As Liana was just testifying, saying, this is what God has done. It's in the times when it's going rough, you look back and you look at the monuments in your life and you can say, praise Jesus, praise Him. He is faithful. And there's nothing as encouraging as that, knowing that in the past, when I look at the monuments, every time, God has come through every time. He is faithful, and He remains faithful. Build monuments in your lives. Get into a lifestyle of testimony and giving thanks and of sharing what He has done. Revelations 12:11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Talking about the power that is in our testimony. The enemy, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. I want to just share a bit of a quick story with you guys. My wife and I, Adana and I, were on holiday last year sometime on the south coast, and we came back, flew back on a late flight, and imagine this scenario. We've still spent the whole day at the beach. I've got a nice, you know, long weekend beard, roughing it a bit, you know, sitting there ready to fly. And this guy comes in, walking down the aisle in the plane. It's a Muslim guy, and he's got all the gear. You know, he's got the big black beard. He's got the head gear. He's got the black, you know, black type of robe on, and he's carrying this big box. It's wrapped with a black bag, and he's sweating like you cannot believe, and he sickles to get this thing in the top, and he gets it in, and he sits down next to me, and his guy's really like a sweat is pouring down his face, and he's sitting with a little thing in his hand, with a little button. And it's got like little numbers on it. and the numbers are moving. You know, they're changing, and he's sitting with his thumb on the button. And I thought, whatever, that's nothing. But I saw Erna was a bit tense about the situation. I don't know why. Can't imagine. And I could see she's not gonna. She wanted to sleep. It's not gonna happen, type of thing. So I said, okay. Because I was already praying about I was going to share the gospel with this guy, so I said, okay. So I asked him, so I'm into gadgets and stuff. So what is that there? Is it some kind of a MP3 player? But it doesn't have any earphones or anything. You know, it's like just. So he says, no. So explain to me. very nice gentleman. We had a great chat after that. He explained to me that every time he makes a salutation to Allah, he counts. It's a counter. And I heard him speaking on the phone to somebody that he'd been in a rush and he just made the plane. That's why I was kind of sweating a bit. And so anyway, but we had a great... The whole story is about that. We had a great chat. And it turns out this guy is a very holy man in terms of the Islamic faith. And he's I think he's called a mullah or some... A mullah. Basically a priest in their terms. And we had a great chat. Very respectable gentleman. And We had a good talk. He luckily didn't ask what I did because of the beard and everything. But we talked about a lot of stuff. Very intellectual guy. Very knowledgeable. And I was sharing a bit and I was listening to him. And I could see that I wasn't going to get through on an intellectual level in terms of apologetics. And then I shared my testimony. And he didn't have a comeback. He didn't have anything to say. There's such a powerful thing about your testimony. You can argue about everything on the planet. You can argue about evolution. You can argue about the death penalty. You can argue about the baptism. But when it gets to your testimony, what God has done in your life, the fact that you are going to the pit and you are now have eternal life and relationship with the living God, there's nobody that can argue with you about that. There's nothing as powerful as sharing what God has done in your life. And right there, I noticed as I was sharing that I wasn't only speaking to this gentleman anymore. You know when it gets a bit quiet in the airplane? So I raised my voice a little bit. You know, can you hear some people? But how amazing is that? Right there, I could share and I could share the love of Christ with that man. And I could really implore him to reevaluate what he believes. And I could share what this is what my life was like before I knew the living Christ. This is how he came into my life, how he changed me completely, and now I'm a different person. And now my life is like this. And he didn't have any story that was similar. And anyway, I want to encourage you, there's nothing as powerful as that, of saying this is what God has done in my life. Not only your salvation testimony, not only how you came to know Him, but whatever God does, when He provides, when He comes through, when you meet that person, whatever happens, share what God does, testify, make it a lifestyle. Disciple, someone, chapter number 4. Discipling is a disciple is somebody who lives by a set of disciplines, and just a few to throw out there: discipline of prayer, fasting. No cheering at fasting. It's really healthy spiritually and physically. As a church in Joburg and here as well, I believe we're going into a season where we're going to do a lot more of that, so please get used to it. Prayer and fasting, the word, get into a relationship with it, to walk with that person so that they can have an intimate relationship with the living word of God. Discipline of worship, testimony, we've spoken about. Fellowship, discipline of getting into a place of fellowship with others and taking them along, whatever you're doing, and fellowshipping in Christ, fellowshipping around the Word. It's a discipline. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul writes, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." This is important to understand that when we make disciples, when we disciple somebody, you're not, you know, you're not making disciples of Yaku or disciples of of Barry, or, you know, we're making disciples of Jesus Christ. So whatever he's, whatever we've taught, we learned, however we've grown in Christ, we want to lead somebody in doing the same thing and walking in the same road and experiencing that intimacy with Christ that we are experiencing. Imitate me. And that takes quite a bit of boldness for Paul to say, imitate me. He invites somebody to say, do as I do, because I'm doing as Jesus is doing. Jesus said the same. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. How powerful is that? Following God, following in His footsteps, following Christ to such a place where you can boldly say to somebody, you can follow me because I'm following Jesus. Okay, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, our commission, our mandate, our marching orders. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Again, we have learned and got, Jesus has commanded us, and now we're teaching somebody else to walk in that road, to walk in these disciplines. It should be something that is a part of who we are. Pouring out into somebody else. Taking time. And guys, this is something, if you're a student tonight, I just want to encourage you, even if you're not a student, but if you're a student specifically, I know it doesn't feel like it, but you probably have, at this stage, most of you probably have more spare time than you will ever have in your life before you maybe retire or something, okay? I know you think I'm lying. I know. But take my word on this. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying most of you have more spare time than you will have in many years. Make an investment into somebody's life. Take the time that you do have. And even if you're not a student and you're working, time is precious to us. What a precious investment to say, I'm going to take time out to invest into somebody's life. I'm going to take time out to walk with this new guy in my small group. I want to go with him to the foundation courses. I want to take him along when we go to the intercession. I'm going to take time out to spend with this person, to pour into their life, to pray with him, to discuss some things of the Word, to work through the Apostle Cias' book. What a blessing. What a privilege. If you haven't got that book yet, get it and get three or so that you can pass it on to somebody else. Take time out. That thing is structured in a way that once a week you meet with a person, you can discuss what's happening and what you're learning. What a precious investment to say, I'm sowing into somebody's life. I'm making an investment. I'm walking with someone. It's that type of investment that'll last eternally. And then faith in action. James chapter 1, verse 22-25, James writes, he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The NIV in the verse 22, I love it. Sometimes the NIV is kind of very straightforward. In verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, it can't get more clear than that. Just do what it says right there. Just do it, okay? And this is an amazing thing. When you start putting into action what you've learned, when you start taking what you've heard at Bible school, at foundations, or what you've learned in your walk with Christ and say, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to grab this friend of mine or this person that I'm walking with and we're going to do this stuff. You know, I had the great privilege of, I don't know if many of you have met Pastor Cias. He's a camp, student pastor, charge of the student, basically the whole student church in Stellenbosch. And we... I walk with him in a similar way. He took me along when he was preaching, etc. And it was an amazing time of equipping. But I can tell you that we had great times of fellowship. And we had great times when he used to stick me for lunch and we'd just chat or coffee or whatever. But that's not the times when I learned the most. I learned the most when we went to Nigeria together. And we were going through hectic times in the spirit. Or we went to India and you know, we were on the train and there was hectic opposition in the spirit. And we had to pray and I could see the word and I could see everything he was teaching us at work in his life. There's nothing more powerful than that, than doing the work of the kingdom. Getting into the trench with somebody and fighting the war in the spirit. Getting that person to come along. If you're facilitating at foundations, just grab that person to go along. If you're going on one of these teams that you guys are sending out to go and facilitate foundation at a different town, get that person to pray for you. Get them involved. Get them to support you in prayer. Make it a team effort. Get them to go along to whatever you're doing. It's when we do the stuff together, when we go walk in the work, the Word of God, and walk in the purpose of God together, that's when we learn that from each other. That's when we imparting into each other's lives. That's when there's real life and real impartation happening. So I want to encourage you guys that this is something we need to make a part of who we are. And it's such a blessing if you can do it right now. If you're still young in your workplace or if you're studying, make it a part of who you are. Making a decision daily, say, Lord, I want to take what you've put in me and I want to pour it out into somebody else. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman, it's such a powerful thing in a business world to say, I've learned this in my field and I want to pour some of this. I want to pour myself out into somebody else. I want to take what I've received and I want to pour it into somebody else. I want to walk a road. You know, this is completely contrary to what the world says. You'll see that if you're in a corporate environment, the best thing you can do is to specialize. If you can find a niche somewhere where you can provide a service if you have a skill that is so specialized and that is in great demand, you may. People are prepared to pay big bucks for your skill, and you're the only one that can do it. I mean, that's the best possible situation, all right? There's such a drive towards specializing or getting a niche market or kind of... You understand what I'm saying? In the kingdom of God, it's completely the opposite. In the kingdom of God, you need to multiply yourself as quickly and as efficiently as possible. If you've learned something, you need to take that something and put it into somebody else or into more than one person as quickly as you can. That's how it works. Because we're an army, because we're going towards the same goal, because we're marching together, because we want to see the kingdom of God come, it's completely the opposite. There's no specializing, okay? Take what God has put in your life. The word says, freely you have received, now freely give. Take what you have received. Take the treasure that God has put in you, that amazing work that he's doing in your life and pour it out into somebody else. Spiritually, physically, skill-wise, in your workplace, in your family. And this is something that is, like I said, it's a lifestyle. It's a part of who we are. If you can stand with me tonight as we close. It's something that needs to be a part of who we are. You know, saying, I want to make eternal investments. I want to leave a legacy in not stuff only. I want to leave legacy in people's lives. I want to sow into others. I want to sow into relationship. I want to pour myself, everything that God has done in my life, everything that has blessed me with, everything that has poured into me, I want to sow into someone's life. I want to pour it out. I want to bless someone else. I want to see generations change. I want to see the kingdom of God and His purpose for my life and to extend beyond my lifetime, to extend beyond my generation. And that's the challenge before us tonight. And I just want to recap. Firstly, trust God for a person. And I want to really challenge you now. Don't go home and forget about this. God is into this thing. You're going to see amazing fruit in people's lives. It's going to take a bit of faith. It's going to take a bit of time. It's going to take a lot of time. Just to pray. Start by praying. Make it simple. Ask God, Lord, show me who I can walk this road with. Show me if there's somebody in my res or my class or my workplace. Is there a colleague? Is there somebody in my family? Who can I walk this road with? Secondly, just what you've got in, just pour it out. Teach what you've learned. Pass it on. Okay? Testify. Live a life of testimony. Live a life of declaring His goodness in your life. Declaring what He has done. Live a life of gratitude like that. Okay? Disciple. Have the boldness of saying to somebody, imitate me. Come and do what I've done. Come and see what God is doing in my life. And then lastly, faith in action. Grabbing somebody to come along, to do stuff together. I don't know if you guys do soul winning things still on campus. If you do, take somebody along. If you don't, just do it anyway. Go and share the gospel. But take somebody along. There's such a blessing in that. There's such an impartation of life when you're walking with someone. When you're pouring yourself into someone. You're investing into somebody. And you're going to see, you're going to grow as well. But I want to challenge us that God's purpose, God's destiny, God's plan for your life, for this campus, the campuses of this city, for the city, for your workplace. God's purpose is great. It's greater than what you can accomplish. It's greater than your lifetime. It's greater than you, because it's God. Support it out. Make people part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Lord, we stand in awe tonight of how great you are, Lord. How awesome you are, Lord. We stand in awe, Lord, of your purposes, Lord, and your plans, Lord, and we know that you have a plan and a vision for our nation, Lord, and our city. We know that you have a redemptive purpose, Lord, for this place, Lord. And that's why we're here. God, it's such an amazing revelation to understand. It's so much bigger than we are, Father. Tonight I pray in the name of Jesus that you would stir in every one of our hearts here tonight the desire and the passion to see what we are, to see the blessing of God in our lives just pour out into others, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray tonight you stir in hearts, Lord, a desire to father children in the Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you are passionate about godly offspring. We know that you are passionate about souls, God, about people coming into your kingdom and walking with you, Lord. And we know that we have the privilege of walking as co-workers with Christ, Lord. And tonight we want to commit our hearts, Lord, to say, yes, Lord, we want to walk in that road. We want to father children in the Spirit and many children, Father, to bear fruit, God. Fruit that will remain, God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that we have this privilege by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that we are able to walk with you, Lord, as co-workers, Lord, as colleagues, Lord, as partners, Lord, in the gospel, partners in the kingdom, because this is what you've called us to do, Lord, and it's through the blood of your Son, Jesus. As every eye is closed, as heads are bowed tonight, as we're praying, Lord, I pray that you would commit, that you convict every heart in this place, Lord, of where we're at with you, Lord, of our relationship with you. Holy Spirit, convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, Lord. If you're standing here tonight, and hearing what I have to say, but you're saying, how do you hear from God? How you make it sound so easy, but how does it happen? If you're not at a place of a relationship with God, you know God in the same way that you know Nelson Mandela. You know some facts about him, and you know where he stays, maybe, and you know something about his life, but you've never met the man. You've, you don't have a personal relationship, if you know God in that way, I've got good news for you tonight that Jesus Christ died on a cross and took your punishment upon Himself so that you and I can have a living relationship with the living Father, the living God. So that you and I can hear His voice. So that you and I can walk with Him. So that we can lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. Say, God, I want to follow You. I want to worship You with everything that's in me. I want You to be my Father. And I thank You that You are my Savior. And if you're not in that place tonight, you know that your relationship with God is not what it should be. If you know tonight you're not born again, you haven't heard the voice of the Father, you don't know what it means to hear Him and to have intimate time in His presence, then I want to say tonight is an opportunity for you to say, yes, God, I want to walk with You. I want to take that first step into a relationship with You, Lord. I've been trying things on my own. I've been trying to fix my life. I just sense there's somebody here tonight that has been trying a lot of stuff to fix their life. Trying to kind of make sense out of the mess. God just says tonight to you, come to Me just as you are. I love you. I've sent my Son to die for you. I love you so much. I want you to come to Me just the way you are. I'll sort out your mess. I can heal you. I can restore you. That's what God, I just sense that God is saying that for somebody specific here tonight. And if that's you, and you want to make a commitment tonight, you want to say, Lord, I want to walk with You, I want to know You. I'm tired of this fake stuff. I'm tired of this, a bit of this and a bit of that. I want to know You intimately. I want to walk with You as my Savior and my Father. If you want to be born again tonight, I would love to pray with you. If there's anybody like that, if you could just raise your hand tonight. I want to pray with you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you put up your hand, you can put it down again. To anybody else, guys, I'm not trying to put you on the spot or to. This is an amazing opportunity that you have to say, God, today I'm stopping the nonsense. I want to step up to the plate. I want to walk with You for real. It takes boldness. It takes guts. If there's anybody else, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, I want to encourage you. It's not a mountain in the Rosa walk, you know. And God calls you, it takes us saying, Lord, I lay down my life and I follow You with everything I have in me. Everything I have in me, I want to follow You. I lay it down. Life will change drastically. But you will know the intimate time. You will know the voice of the Father. You will walk in His purpose for your life. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that compares to knowing Jesus. There's nothing. Is there anybody else? I want to ask those guys that put up their hands, those people, to take a bold step when you come to the front. I know it takes some guts, guys. Please step to the front. We'd love to pray with you. There's going to be some people. You must understand that the love of God towards you is greater than anything you can imagine. His love for you and His heart for you and His desire for you to walk with Him, to walk in relationship with Him. That's why He's created you. And you're responding to that. This massive party going on in heaven now. If you think Loftus was loud on Saturday, there's no comparison because you're stepping into eternity. I want us to pray together. I want to pray, and I want you to pray after me. I want everybody to pray along. And we're just going to, I just wanted to open your heart and just to speak to God right now. Okay, but if you could pray after me. Father God, I thank You for Your love for me. Tonight I confess that I am a sinner. Lord, that I've done so much to separate myself from you. And I can't fix it. I can't save myself. But I thank you, God, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to take my punishment. I thank you for your love demonstrated on the cross. Tonight, Lord, I choose to turn away from the way that I've been walking, from my old life. And I turn around and I walk in a new life, in a new direction, in a new purpose in you. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That God has raised Him from the dead. That He is my Savior and my King. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that I'm now your child. That I can hear your voice. That I can walk with you. That I can know you intimately. And that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to, if the facilitators could just come forward, there's somebody that's going to just spend a few minutes just praying with you guys. But I want to really encourage you today. It's a turning point, okay? It's an exciting road that lies ahead. And I'm going to challenge you to start that walk tonight. So when you finish praying and you've finished fellowshipping, to go and share what God has done tonight. To go to at least three people and say, tonight, God has changed my life. Tonight, I've come face to face with God. Tonight, I know Him. I want to challenge you, it's going to take some guts. But go to some people that you know and share what has happened tonight. Amen. If you could, if the guys could just, if you could pray with them, the guys could come. Amen. If you could maybe just follow Donnie to this side, on your right, the guys will just walk with you. Amen. Just to pray with you. Excellent. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship in song. We're going to worship God. And I want to challenge you. If God has challenged you tonight, if the Holy Spirit has pressed on your heart somewhere to walk in this path, to really to pour yourself out into somebody, to step up to this challenge, I'd like you to come forward. Then if the other people that aren't on duty tonight to pray could help as well, we're going to pray for you. And anoint you and just trust God just to step into that lifestyle of saying, Lord, I want to freely I've received, I want to give. Okay. And if you have any other prayer need, if you have whatever is happening in your life, I don't have the answer, but I know a God that does. I know that Jesus has the answer for you. Whatever your situation is, if you have a desperate need or you just need somebody to agree with you, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. So as we worship, come to the front and we're going to pray.